2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the DFS Army Bull Calls Fantasy Football Podcast. This is part two of four. We're breaking down the NFL Draft Fantasy Fallout. We're on the rookie, on the AFC rookie Fantasy Fallout topic. So we're doing part two of the AFC, going through team by team, looking at who they drafted, how it affects that team's fantasy prowess overall, not just the rookies, the whole team, who goes up. Who comes down, who we should be focusing on, and trying that next level thinking. Where does a player affect other players on his team rather than just thinking about the player himself? Joined, as always, by my man, the season-long fantasy football GOAT himself, a man who spends the same amount of time studying rookie NFL prospects that you do, running after your kids, giving them food, feeding them, putting them, he's not worried about any of that shit. He's studying NFL rookie prospects.
I do it so you don't have to.
That's what I'm talking about. I don't do it. I'm like, yo, I asked this guy. I asked Seth, what do you say about this guy? So that's what we're going to do here. Now, before we continue, because I just remembered, if you like what we're doing here, if you like this video, if you like off-season fantasy football content, if you like bold calls, like and subscribe to the channel, whatever you're listening to, Podbean, Podcast, YouTube, Twitcher, Snitcher, your girlfriend's ass, whatever it is that you're listening to, like
Pony
and subscribe.
Express.
The Pony Express, that's right.
Vic DiPietro. Yeah.
There it is.
You know, can I tell you something about Vic DiPietro, by the way? And then you know, I know Vic. I have actually I have a friendship with Vic. I'm not close to them anymore,
wow.
But yeah, no, Vic and I correspond over email from time to time. Anytime that I drop in and I say hello to Vic, he's always so nice to me. I met him about 30 years ago before he blew up as a comedian. He was working as the warm-up comic. And for any of those who don't know Vic DiPietro, he is the bread and milk guy. He's got all these great videos. Just, you know, Google him. He's an awesome comic. He was in Mall Cop 2. He was the warm-up comic for a talk show that I worked on. And I was just like, an intern or assistant. And, you know, I used to go to all his shows and stuff like that. So anytime I see him, he's always so nice to me. He's like, Alan, hey. So, yeah, no, it's cool to see that Vic became a little celebrity. I will post a picture for you to see. Oh, nice. Me and Vic. Yeah.
Love Vic DiPietro, and good catch on the reference. So here we go. Like and subscribe to the channel. We're on YouTube. We're on Apple Podbeans and all of that good stuff. So whatever you're into, like it, subscribe it. I'm told that is a good thing for you to do. And of course, when you subscribe to the channel, you hit that notification button so that it lets you know when we go live, because we got content coming out all the time. We've got fantasy football. We got League of Legends. We've got esports. We've got everything. MMA, whatever you want.
Absolutely.
Weird season. All right, so we're breaking down the AFC East Fantasy Fallout NFL Draft. We're continuing. Here we've got the Chargers. LA Chargers.
That's where we left off.
Interesting draft. We left off with the Chargers. Now, there's a couple of interesting picks here. They didn't have a ton of picks early. It looks like they traded away at least or traded up here to get a linebacker. So I'm going to start with the most critical guy, Justin Herbert.
Hey, while I'm talking about Justin Herbert, what I want you to do, Geek, is I'm getting a little like you're glitchy a little bit every other word. It's not too bad, but it's bad enough. Just sign out and sign back in. But I'll talk about Justin Herbert for a minute, okay? Just literally sign out and then sign back in. All right. So Justin Herbert was drafted 6th overall by the Chargers. There was some debate before the draft. Was Justin Herbert going to go before Tua? Was he going to go after Tua? And it's kind of funny that like it basically worked out to exactly where it was supposed to be. Hey, Geek, there you are. Say hello.
Let's hope it's better.
Much better. It's much better.
There we go.
Yeah. I was just saying, it was funny how before the draft, how everyone was like, hey, will Justin Herbert go before Tua? Will he go after Tua? There's teams that like him better. The Giants were talking to Justin Herbert. It was all smoke. We basically knew Justin Herbert, who's a pretty clean prospect, was going to go in the top 10, but I didn't have any doubt he was going to go to the Chargers or, you know, all the cockamamie move up stuff. 6'6", huge man, but he's mobile. He ran fast at the combine. So that's what, you know, Justin Herbert is not just the typical statue prospect like Paxton Lynch or Osweiler. Like he has that big arm. He's tall, but he can also on 3rd and 8 scramble for the extra yardage. So I don't think he's a zero in the running game. And I don't think he's like, you don't expect him to be like peak Aaron Rodgers either, but he is someone that'll get you 280 rushing yards a year just based on he'll tuck it and run. The knock on Justin Herbert, of course, is here. I'm putting air quotes. He's not a leader. He doesn't lead with his voice. He leads with his play. I think he's a crisp, clean prospect that has a real chance to have some staying power in the NFL. And he strikes me as a guy he'll be either, you know, the 12th or 14th best quarterback in his peak, maybe have a couple top 10 seasons, but he'll settle in as an NFL starter and have a pretty decent career.
I mean, when you look at that breakdown, obviously the Chargers don't really have anybody else. They're going to probably play this guy right off the bat.
You don't think Tyrod Taylor will be the starter week one?
It's going to be a Brown situation where you'll get a couple of weeks of Tyrod and then he'll suck as he does because he sucks.
You don't like him?
No. I mean, we saw him with Cleveland. He's just not that good. He doesn't have it. He doesn't have enough to, like, he's a great backup, solid for your team, but he's not who you want as a starter. And he's not a solution for the Chargers. They're absolutely going to move to Ebert. Within the first 4 weeks, they're going to protect him how they want. If they want, it's going to be I really see the same exact situation as Baker Mayfield where, you know,
I mean, Baker Mayfield, the coaches were such, you know, they were so nutless that they waited a long time. These coaches will, they invested in them. They're going to go with them right away. They're not going to be spiteful like the coaches were for, I think I agree with you. He's going to probably start week one.
That's what I'm thinking. So, you know, what does that do for the prospects for someone like Keenan Allen, a PPR machine that really, I mean, down. You can't expect a rookie quarterback to deliver consistent passing volume to a possession wide receiver. That is just not a good formula right there. Austin Eckler is really interesting because Phillip Rivers was a master of the pass to the running back position. So the question is, and he wasn't doing it on screenplays, which is a kind of a somewhat of a quarterback specific skill. Some of them are better at it than others, but rather he was doing it on designed plays. So the question I have, and we don't know the answer to, is will the Chargers system continue to produce incredible fantasy goodness to the running back position via the pass with Rivers out of the way?
Yeah, I mean, like, we both agree that Rivers, I mean, he throws to the running back. It was great, perfect setup. But what did the Chargers do in the offseason? They committed for a 4-year deal. I think it was, oh my God, it was about $7 or $8 million per year, guaranteed for 2 years. So we know that they didn't draft a running back until the fourth round. They drafted Joshua Kelly out of UCLA. So we know that Austin Eckler is the lead back, and we know he's an elite pass catcher, not just with screens, but you're the one who brought my attention that he ran a lot of routes and actual sideline goes and things like that. So we do know at very minimum he's got a very high floor, and we believe he's an RB1.
Yeah, but we're working with the assumption that essentially the offense will run the same way and that the quarterback play will be competent. We're going to have to see if that plays out, but I agree. Even without very much competence, there's no reason why the Chargers would stop throwing. It's not a new regime. There's no reason why the Chargers would stop throwing to the running back position. And again, those were design plays. Those were not. There's a massive difference, and a lot of people don't pick it up, between a check down to the running back and a running back that's used in design passing. Like what the Jets did with Le'Veon Bell last year was check down to the running back. Okay. And that's why Le'Veon Bell wasn't Le'Veon Bell. Whereas on the Steelers, there were more design plays to him. And so he produced massive numbers. We've seen with the Chargers for years, even going back to Danny Woodhead, that they designed plays to the running back position, especially in hurry up mode. So That's just part of that offense. We've seen it with Rivers, new quarterback. I think it will continue, like Austin Ekeler. I don't think that Joshua Kelly is fantasy relevant this season.
As we do know, listen, it happens all the time. And now Joshua Kelly is a good prospect. I mean, he's got all the tools. He looked good at the Senior Bowl. He had a good season in college. I mean, is he relevant right off the bat? Probably not, but I think he's a real threat to be the number two there and take Justin Jackson's role. If there's an injury to Ekeler, I think he's one of these guys that's going to be on the waiver wire. At some point, Joshua Kelly is going to be the number one waiver wire pickup guy.
You need an injury to Ekeler.
Yeah, and in your dynasty league, I mean, you can easily get him in the third round, probably in the fourth. I mean, as far as rookie startups, I mean, I think that in the Austin Ekeler owner might want to be a little aggressive on him. He's a good prospect. I think he's a drop older than your typical rookie. He's 23, not 21. But again, I just have to double check that. I'm doing it off the top of my head. So if I have that wrong, don't shoot me. I like him a lot. He was one of the guys I thought could go in the third round. The fact that he went in the fourth, that's fine. Makes sense. Now he's not irrelevant for fantasy. He's someone that will be drafted in your dynasty rookie drafts.
It's like write his name down on that notepad, late.
Oh,
late,
yeah. Know his name.
And, especially if there's a taxi squad or something like that, you want to stash him there. And in 2 years from now, he could wind up being the starter for a team and he could be out of the league. So,
One more interesting guy, though, if we're talking about the Chargers draft in the seventh round, they got KJ Hill, right? KJ Hill, I think he has Ohio. Was he have the most catches or does he have the most touchdowns in Ohio State history? I mean, like, it's one of those where the reason why he went so late is because he's small. I mean, he has that size that you hate, but he was a seventh round pick. I think he's like 5'7", like 170, 168.
Those guys don't make it in the NFL.
But seventh round. Keenan Allen, often injured. He does not do what Mike Evans does, and there's no guy that's locked in. And some teams, there's guys that are locked into the number three role. There's no one on the team that's locked into the number three role. If he comes in and has a good camp, I'm just saying there's a chance that he could have a PPR role. And remember, Justin Herbert is, it's not like he has some chemistry with any of the receivers. It's as good a guess as any of who he'll have chemistry with. I'm just saying, seventh round pick, may not make the roster, but I just was in a 5-round rookie draft. KJ Hill didn't get drafted, but it's someone just to pay attention to because he was productive in college.
There we go. And could take that Travis Benjamin role, but again,
he's not there anymore. That's what I was thinking. He's not there anymore.
Not there anymore. Yeah. That's why I said that Travis Benjamin role for the team.
Oh, the role.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. The role for the team. So
he's good in college.
Just my assessment. I'm going to downgrade Mike Williams. I'm going to downgrade Keenan Allen. Downgrade. I downgraded them more from what I thought of them last year because with Rivers gone, I just can't really fathom enough volume, not just the passing volume out of a rookie. Most teams don't want to just load up a rookie with volume. It's just not something that teams want to do. You need a lot of volume to support those two guys, to support Hunter Henry, and to support a pass-catching running back, all from one team. Not saying it's impossible. We saw the Giants kind of support a lot of different guys with Danny Dimes last season, but it's less likely for me. And if Mike Williams, for example, is being touted as a guy who's sort of on the rise, I don't know. I don't expect different or better than last season from Mike Williams. And what he did last season was definitely not enough to even really man my WR2 spot. He's going a little bit too high in drafts based on his talent. And not so much this situation, which I think is not ideal for a wide receiver. Could be wrong, but that's what I'm at. That's where I'm at. I'd like to wait a little bit on Mike Williams. I think Keenan Allen's on the outs over there. He's got another year or two, and he might not still be with the Chargers for a while. But Mike Williams could grow into a supreme number one wide receiver. That could happen this year, but there's just a lot of weapons on that team.
Very good. Yeah. No, I mean, Justin Herbert could come in though and light it up. We'll see, but on to the next team. We're 15 minutes now. We've done one team.
One team. We got a lot of teams to go through here. Miami Dolphins, big pick. Tua.
Yeah.
Tank for Tua. Number 5 overall.
Don't even tank for Tua. Beat the Patriots in the last game of the season for Tua.
Wait, there's more though. There's more. We got an offensive tackle at pick number 18, Austin Jackson. We've got another offensive lineman at pick 30, another first rounder. No, 39, beginning of the second round, Bobby Hunt. So lots of help, a guard, you know, another guard later on in the draft, lots of help on that offensive line, which was a disaster last year, the worst in the league. Now you've added two very high draft picks to the offensive line. You've added, I don't know that Tua is like going to make this offense more explosive than what it was with Ryan Fitzpatrick, to be quite honest. It was pretty good. It was good for fantasy production last year. It was great. They couldn't run the football. That was even better. They just threw it and threw it and threw it to Parker and Preston Williams. So tell me about a Gesicki looked really good last year coming on towards the end. So this Miami team is loaded really with a lot of interesting draft prospects. And in your draft, you're talking about Jordan Howard. Is they didn't draft a running back. Jordan Howard now becomes somewhat interesting, I guess.
Yeah, but they also, remember, they traded a fifth-round pick in the middle of the draft for Matt Breida. So
they added Breida. I forgot about that. They did. Yeah. They added Matt Breida, who might take over the number one role or might be like a shake and bake with Howard, which is the worst-case scenario.
I mean, it's the perfect thunder and lightning. Those guys have both been running backs that have had success at their various stops along the way. You know, it's funny. They're back to back in my PPR rankings. Like, I literally have them back to back. Both of them projected to go around the eighth, ninth round. They both make for like the perfect zero running back type of runner, or, you know, running back three or four if you've balanced your draft out. But in the leagues where I'm stacking wide receivers early, those are the type of guys that I'm going after.
They're both going to play. Neither one of them is going to be spectacular.
But I love what the Dolphins did. They were like, okay, this is the age where running back isn't as important. Let's load up our draft picks with the trenches and defense and that type of stuff. We'll get two veterans on the cheap that could basically do the job. Okay. And two veterans that nobody really wanted that have produced before. And we have Devontae Parker, who broke out last year. We have Preston Williams, who was dominating until he got hurt last year. That's a 6'5 monster that flies. I mean, Preston Williams is going to be when we do our sleeper episode, I mean, he's going to be everyone's sleeper, but he literally, you asked me last week, who's the new DJ Shark? This is the one that's the obvious call. It's not last year.
How late does he go? Like, where is he going?
Like 13th round right now in best ball.
You want him on your best ball team all day.
Yeah.
You want him on your best ball team all fucking day.
Absolutely. Like, I can see him climbing into the ninth round, which I'm still interested, but in the double digit rounds, come on, man. You know,
oddly excited about the Dolphins. Now, do you think Tua starts right off the bat? You think
I do. I think so. Yeah, I think so. This thing about that he's going to sit a year. What rookie quarterback in 2020 sits a year when you were drafted in the first round in the top five picks? It just doesn't happen. That rookie contract.
You know who would do that?
The Jets.
What's the GM from the
Ryan Pace. Ryan Pace. Yeah, well, to his credit, even though he traded up from Mitch Trubisky, he did start him right away.
All right, O'Brien, though, for sure. You're going to sit here.
I mean, remember that they made Aaron Rodgers sit, and that's, again, we can get into the Packers later, what they did. Everyone's talked about it already. But, it really is amazing to me that, it's not amazing. But in 2020, you need that rookie contract to hit right away in order to build the team and spend the money anywhere else. You want, unless Tua is like, can't physically move around, but if he looks good, and on those videos, he did look good.
Who won the Super Bowl last year? The Chiefs. How did they win it? They're not paying Mahomes. They're able to pay talent around him right now. And they have a little window of a couple of years. That's how you win a Super Bowl with a young quarterback. You're able to pay your other players. When Mahomes gets his $38 million a year contract, all of a sudden, the Reeks of the world, the Kareem Hunt types, right?
Yeah.
You can't pay those guys. You can't pay Tyreek anymore. You can't pay your studs. They don't have that many studs on that team. It's all fucking, by the way, I mean, if you think about it, think about the Chiefs. They're doing it without a whole bunch of high paid studs outside of maybe Tyreek Hill on offensive skill position players. So good on them. I don't know who they're paying, but they're paying someone. All right. Yeah. Let's move on. Next team. The dynasty, will it continue? New England Patriots. Pretty weird. Pretty weird draft.
You like what they did? Yeah, well, I like what they... Well, God, you can say your spilka.
I mean, I don't have too much here because...
Yeah, I like the tight ends.
They're always kind of weird. I like the tight ends.
Yeah, I like the two tight ends they took in the third round, Dalton Keene and Asiasi. I think they took Asiasi first out of UCLA. I was surprised that... he was my... number two tight end rated on the board. I had Cole Kmet first. I know a lot of people had Troutman up there. What was really surprising was that both tight ends, they took Dalton Keene also, before Troutman went to the Saints. That surprised me a little bit because I had Troutman up there a little bit. I guess the knock on Troutman was that he played at a small school, but Asiasi is like a freak tight end. Like he's again, it's a weird comparison, but he does have the athleticism of Aaron Hernandez by all accounts, he's a good dude. This is somebody I'm very interested in. I got him in the fifth round of a rookie startup. Now, again, you're going to have to wait on tight ends, but if there's any team that could develop younger tight ends, for some reason, it's the Patriots. They found Rob Gronkowski in the second round. They found Aaron Hernandez. Actually, Aaron Hernandez dropped a little bit because he had off the field stuff, but they have been able
to.
Oh. Chris Lissett said this the other day. He said, those tight end picks that year were killer. You know, they were killer.
So, I mean, end of the day, you can't really like discount the Patriots taking two tight ends because, again, the last time they took two in a draft, you know, you had a pretty good tandem of Hernandez and Gronk for a little bit.
Some people like Dalton Keene better than Asiasi. You know, like they're too. Well, you know what? Keene is his comp that I like after I watched his tape was Austin Hooper. That was who he most reminded me of that I saw. And that's, you know, a capable pass catcher, and that could be very useful on the Patriots. Asiasi has got a little bit more upside, a little more athleticism to him, and that's why I gave the Aaron Hernandez comparison. But obviously, he's got a lot to prove being a third round tight end.
And the Patriots have no one at the position. Let's not kid ourselves. So these guys are here to play.
Asiasi is the best tight end on the roster today.
Yeah, these guys are on the team to play now. So that's a good thing. Listen, the Patriots trying to fill a need. Tight ends do take time to develop. They're not. It's never been a position that I can recall where you just generally don't see. Maybe Evan Engram was kind of good in his rookie year, but he really didn't play tight end. He really played slot receiver that year. Right. So
Gronk had double-digit tight ends his rookie year.
A couple guys, but for the most part, you know, Hockenson had like one good game last year, and everyone was like, I draft him every week. But you know, a tight end, you're not really expecting that much out of year one, but a couple of interesting guys. But really, this Patriots draft, I have nothing to add. It didn't affect the team to me at all. All it said was we didn't draft a running back, really. We didn't draft a
Sony Michel, wide receiver. Big winner.
It could be Damian Harris, Desmond Harris, the other guy.
Yeah, Damian Harris. But like, so both like, remember on our earlier podcast, I've been saying Sony Michel is like the best value in all of best ball right now in his seventh round ADP, could be leading the Patriots backfield. And if you're not so sure about it, in the 10th round, you can get Damian Harris. Like both of those guys are affordable and you're going to, one of them, like you agree that, I mean, maybe they split and they don't, but they are so worth right now. Sony Michel is going to get pumped up to the fifth round, and that's when I'm going to pump the brakes. But seventh, eighth round, I've seen him go ninth round. It's a great,
perfectly
great.
And we don't know what they feel about Damian Harris. He was a high pick.
He was a third rounder.
I mean, high enough for the Patriots at that year. He was like the fourth running back off the board. It wasn't like 15, 18 guys went ahead of him. He was one of the higher running backs picked last season. So I don't know what they think of him. What we do know is they're probably not going to want to throw like 50 times a game with whoever the hell.
Right now they have Jared Stidham, man. You know, I mean, right now that's who the QB is. But let me ask you a question. Do you think that he's going to be the QB opening day?
I say no. I know you're a Stidham guy.
I wouldn't put $1 of meaningful money on it.
I don't know who it's going to be. Maybe it's Amir Hoyer.
I don't think it's Hoyer. I think that if all goes bad, it's Hoyer. But why wouldn't you at least try out Cam Newton? Why wouldn't you at least trade for Andy Dalton? Like just something. Unless they know something or they've seen something, and obviously they do know something that we don't know. I mean, they must have seen Jared Stidham light it up in practice, and he could have gotten better since his scouting combine, all that kind of stuff.
It's very possible. Listen, remember the Patriots have had guys emerge that they've picked. Absolutely. In middle rounds that have become
Jimmy
at least
Garoppolo, Tom Brady. I mean,
we talk about does Matt Castle count?
Yes. Right. He got a starting contract, Matt Castle, from the Chiefs.
I mean, it was never great after. None of these guys were, but, you know, they were somebody. So don't love the team. I think the biggest winner is N'Keal Harry out of everybody.
I like it. He could be the DJ Shark this year, the second year guy that breaks out.
I do think N'Keal Harry is the biggest winner in the Patriots draft. They didn't take any wide receivers. They got nothing else going on at wide receiver right now. I mean, they have nothing at wide receiver right now. Nothing. So if you're not relying on N'Keal Harry, Julian Edelman, sorry.
Well, I'll tell you one guy that I'm interested on the Patriots. And again, you can get him with the last pick in your best ball draft. And don't laugh because it's literally, there's no cost. But I'm interested that they signed Marquise Lee. If he's healthy, he was always good when healthy. Now, again, he's 29 already. Can you believe Marquise Lee is 29? But again, it's somebody. You know, Julian, that's
such an oft injured guy.
Right.
He never had a chance, but yet he hung around for all these years.
He hung around because he's good. He was a second round pick in his draft year. And again, it's, you know, in the past, we were paying a seventh rounder, a fifth rounder for him. I mean, with your last pick, what if he's actually ends up being the guy that's productive on New England? It's possible, you know,
perfectly fine. Perfectly fine.
Good late round stab.
If you drafted him in your dynasty rookie draft,
no, you already cut him.
Yeah, it's been a disaster. All right, let's move on to my beloved, my nemesis almost, though, New York Jets. The very interesting draft. I think a draft that went very well for the team. Break down for me the big fantasy relevant names here. You've got the offensive tackle, Mekhi Becton, 11 overall, first round, monster. Second round, a guy that I believe you had a first round grade on, wide receiver Denzel Mims. Falls all the way to pick number 59, speedster, potentially to replace Robbie Anderson. Now, tell me about these two picks and what could we expect in terms of the effect on the team?
Yeah, well, before the draft, you and I were having a big debate. You wanted them to take CeeDee Lamb or Jerry Jeudy there.
Judy was my guy.
Obviously, you know, those two guys are the best two wide receivers on the board. But when you play the board, just like when you're playing your fantasy leagues with one QB league, you don't take a QB early because they'll beat QBs later. Now, Mekhi Becton was many's first number one overall rated tackle on the board. I cannot believe he fell. If he wasn't one, he was two. So Mekhi Becton to fall to like the third or fourth tackle and for the Jets to get him was literally like when Dallas got CeeDee Lamb. It was like a gift fell in your lap. And from that point, they're in the pole position for the wide receiver game in round two. So we because you know I love the Jets too. So the Jets just got a road grader, a backside protector, a monster that's going to be there for 6 years, no problem. 7 years, you know, they'll franchise. He's a franchise tackle. Now you move into the second round, and who falls in the lap of the Jets? The guy with the highest upside in the entire draft class, Denzel Mims. I told you this. The reason Mims fell is because he has the widest range of outcomes of any of the receivers. He has a wide catch radius. He makes the acrobatic catches. He's got great hands off the line. So when cornerbacks try to jam him, even though he's a little bit slower first step, he's got that good swipe move where he can get their hands off him. So literally my upside comp for him is Josh Gordon. My downside comp from him, hold your ears, is Stephen Hill.
Hey.
Yeah, it could be
familiar
that
familiar name. Why? Yeah. Why is he? Did he not have a lot of college experience? Like, did he not have a lot of receptions? No, was he in one of those teams that couldn't pass the football?
He was in Baylor. No, he was in Baylor. He played with what's it called? It was no problem with college production. What I'm saying is that
because Stephen Hill had no college production.
Okay, that I didn't know. Then let's say Dorial Green Beckham is his downside.
There you go.
Top.
Okay.
Yeah, it's scary, Dave.
I remember a season long says trade up for Dorial Green Beckham in one of our dynasty leagues together.
A very
regretful decision in hindsight.
But you know who I passed on for it? I passed on Duke Johnson for it. No big deal.
Yeah, you didn't miss out on too much.
Yep.
But yes, so Denzel Mims dropper. Has a spot waiting for him in the starting lineup for the New York Jets. It's there. Hey, you're in. Wait, why? They don't have any other bodies on the team. There's no one else on the team to play the position.
Yeah, and you know everyone's like, well, I don't want him because he landed on the Jets with Adam Gase. Now, here's how I see it. That either Adam Gase is going to be so bad this year, they're going to fire him, or he's going to turn the Jets around, and you know who's going to be a big part of that turnaround? Is Denzel Mims. Either way, Mims is there for the long term, and the spot does not bother me because you know if they don't keep Gase, they're going to go for one of these high upside college coaches. They're going to light it up. I love that he's playing with 22-year-old Sam Darnold. I couldn't have asked for a better spot for Mims. I like Mims' spot better than I like the elite guys that ended up in crowded
way passes. Better. So much opportunity on the Jets again.
Dude, Mims is going to second round of rookie drafts. It's a criminal.
Right? Don't tell our people watch these shows, but realistically, I like that people look at the Jets situation. Go, oh, Adam Gase sucks. Adam Gase won't be here next year. Okay, he's gone. After he's getting this year, there's a pretty decent GM working for the Jets. He did work a very nice draft. There was a trade down, I think, somewhere along the way. That was a sharp trade down. There was a lot of moves there that said, somebody who knows what they're doing is behind the wheel here. And it's not going to take long to figure out that Adam Gase just leaves a wake of horrible destruction in his path wherever he goes. He won't be here long term. The player will be. There's so much opportunity on the Jets. That's all I can ask for. All I want is a team evaluated this guy as a second round talent, and he's on a team where they'll let him play. Because we see what happens when the team, sometimes there's talent there and they don't let you play, and they don't discover Kenyon Drake is fucking awesome. Yep. They just let him sit there. And you're like, Devontae, dude, this guy's
Parker.
Fucking awesome. Yeah, or Devontae
Ryan Parker. Tannehill.
I mean, we could go on and on. Kenny Stills looked pretty good off that team. Yeah. So
One more key thing about the Jets, man. In the fourth round, they made a power move for LaMichael Perine, whose brother did not have NFL success, Samaje Perine, but LaMichael Perine's a different type of back. And his fourth round draft capital is significant enough. We all know this is Le'Veon Bell's last year in New York. They're just not going to keep him for a third year. And I'm not saying that means LaMichael Perine is the future of the franchise, but he's going to be a professional running back. He played down here in Florida. He's capable. He could do it all. He's three down skill set, good enough speed. He's tough. New York Jet fans are really going to like him. I would say he's probably by week 7 or 8, it's going to be obvious that he deserves a higher piece of the action. For fantasy, you can get him in the third, fourth round of your rookie drafts. And he is somebody, again, that'll probably be if Le'Veon Bell goes down, he qualifies as one of these guys that's going to be the waiver wire hot pickup. So if you own Bell, if you take him in the third round of your redraft league, LaMichael Perine's a perfectly good handcuff, even though you and I usually don't advocate handcuffing and only in specific situations. I like him as an NFL prospect to be in the league for a while. Nothing special, but in the league.
Again, best ball handcuff. You're talking about the last round.
Literally get him the last round. But he's a good player. He's a good player. So.
Absolutely. And I would only really mess with someone like that in a best ball format if I had Le'Veon Bell on the team. Whereas dynasty if I have draft. A dynasty rookie draft, that's where you want to put a guy like that on your reserves. Anybody who's a running back taken probably between round 3 and round 6 is a candidate to sit on your taxi squad if you have a large enough type of dynasty.
Right. But he's also, remember, he's projects to be the number 2 day one. Like, he's not going to be like the third guy. Like last year, Raquel Armstead on Jacksonville was the third player. You know, he's instantly the number 2.
You do like that. Now, overall for the Jets, fantasy relevance, obviously a burner wide receiver. It's a help to Darnold, but it mostly just negates the loss of Robbie Anderson for me. I think the big addition is Mehdi Becton, and in general, all of the offensive line help that the Jets have gotten in this offseason, I do think will make a difference, not just for Sammy D, plus rising. Look, I'm doing the rising. That's the chart. But also for Le'Veon Bell, the much hated, unappreciated, often relegated to your bench because we hate him, but actually, Le'Veon Bell is in a better spot. Again, Gase is a lot more to do with his down year last year than any other reason of him declining. It's just that Adam Gase does not know how to use running backs. Their offense just doesn't know how to throw a screen. It certainly doesn't know how to use a real route or any sort of design pass play to a running back. They don't do that. They're against it. Adam Gase has a problem with it. When Peyton Manning was teaching Adam Gase how to the game of football, he just forgot to teach him the part about throwing to your running back. Can't blame Gase. His teacher didn't teach him well. Got to blame Peyton Manning for that. But overall, it's a plus for Le'Veon Bell is where I was getting to. And offensive tackle, some offensive line help, free agency, all of that potentially could lead to a couple more tutties for Le'Veon.
All right, let's move on.
Here we go. Pittsburgh Steelers.
I like their draft.
Now, Pittsburgh Steelers, very tough year last year. Ben Roethlisberger, very injury prone. Once again, gets injured. I warned everybody in all of the Bold Calls podcast, whenever we talked about Juju Smith-Schuster, whenever we talked about assets on the Steelers team, I said, listen, watch out for Ben Roethlisberger. He's hurt all the time. He's old as fuck, and he's been hit one too many times. We saw it happen. We saw it play out. And the minute Roethlisberger is out, you don't want anything to do with this team. Nothing.
Well, I mean, if the backup quarterback play was competent, it would have been different. But it was, again, we always talk about, like, there's a level where your team can survive. Their backup QB situation was below that level. And, you know, I thought for sure Jameis Winston was going to sign there as the backup. I was
terrible non-signing. Yeah. I don't understand it. Still don't have a proper backup in place. But that being said, tell me about a couple of these picks here. Offensive players, Chase Claypool.
Yeah. So Chase Claypool,
number 49 overall.
So Chase Claypool wowed the combine. I mean, he's a monster. He's what's his measurable there? Like 6'5", 250, something like that. I mean, but he ran, I think, a sub 4.5. I mean, he lit up the combine, was elite speed. I mean, he looks like a tight end. When you see him, he literally looks like a monster tight end. There's been a lot of narrative street on, you know, in social media that, hey, they should move him to tight end. I mean, that's just not his game. I mean, if they want to move him to make him like an Evan Ingram type of tight end, sure, no problem. But he is, and if there's one thing that the Steelers have done well, it's draft wide receivers. The problem for him is that he's going to be forced to play outside. And I think that he will be able to out-jump people. He'll be able to out-muscle people for the ball. But I think he's going to get pushed around by NFL cornerbacks. He's a little, I don't want to say soft because he's a big man, but he's more of a speed guy that's huge rather than a huge guy that just plays big. He's not going to bully anybody over. So I would have liked to see him play in the slot, but by all accounts, our man Juju is going to be playing in the slot this year, which is obviously great for him. But I like Claypool. I like that the Steelers took him. I think they're anticipating that Juju may not be able to resign there next year. Ben Roethlisberger was so happy that they took Claypool out of Notre Dame. It's a great signing. Now, also, is that they didn't have a first-round pick, and the reason was because they traded for defensive player. They traded with Miami. Who did they get? What was it? I cannot believe it escaped my mind, but they got a defensive player from Miami.
I can't remember.
Which is why
they lost the pick. They lost the pick. Now, I just want to address really quick a late-round pick, Anthony McFarland, running back, 124 overall. And basically, you know, the backup to Connor, essentially, what that does is it solidifies Connor a little bit as the starting running back once again. I do think we'll see Jalen Samuel in the pass-catching role. And so you're just going to get an ugly mix of no one really producing enough to make a ton of fantasy value. And Anthony McFarland, though, behind an injury-prone James Conner, could see some fantasy relevance this year if they don't add anybody else.
Yeah, well, I like Anthony McFarland pre-draft coming out of Maryland. I thought he was going to be a third round guy. He fell to the fourth. No big deal for me. I thought Kansas City was going to try to sneak up and take him in the second, but they took Edward Tolaire obviously in the first. No need. I like him a lot. I think that this is the last year of Conner's contract. If Pittsburgh is proven one thing, it's that they're not going to spend big money on the running back position.
Well, you and I also agree, and let's go back to points we made in previous Bolt Calls podcast. We both agree that Connor has not solidified his role on that team at all.
No, I mean, he's had good seasons. I think it's just an injury thing with him. That's the problem. Mm-hmm. And here's the issue, though, with taking all these fourth-round running backs. They're kind of like scratch-off lottery tickets. I mean, most of them are going to be nothing, and you have to throw them away. Maybe once in a while you're hit. So if you keep taking fourth-round running backs, Benny Snell, Anthony McFarland, like those are guys that won the fourth round, you can't expect that much. Though I do think Anthony McFarland is better than Benny Snell, so I do expect him to at least be the backup to James Conner. And if James Conner gets hurt, I think it won't take long for the coaching staff to see that Anthony McFarland has a little juice.
Absolutely. And again, not really fantasy relevant for me in best ball leagues. Definitely not fantasy relevant in redraft right now, but there is some dynasty value. But I would just as an overall thing say, if there's a running back drafted in the in the third to sixth round, and you're in your third or fourth round of your dynasty, take that guy. You know, like, always just take those guys and put them on your bench. Lots of injuries happen at the running back position. Hammering through here up to T. Tennessee Titans.
Oh yeah,
took a tackle in round one. Okay. Derrick Henry, very nice. Got a backup running back, Darrington Evans.
Yeah, Darrington Evans, man. Darrington Evans is he was one of the guys that caught my attention. Let's say that caught my attention in the pre-draft process. He is lightning fast. I mean, he is the perfect complement to Derrick Henry's Thunder.
Can he
Thunder
catch passes?
Yes, that's so he's a wide receiver that they changed to a running back. So he in high school and his early college career played wide receiver, and they're like, wait, you know, football is becoming just like the NBA has become a little positionless. The NFL is going that direction too now, as you see, like with Lynn Bowden Jr., who got picked in Oakland.
We'll see if that works out. Okay, yeah, I'm seeing a lot of teams going to some players who model that way.
Yeah, and I think it works when you put the guy as a running back that catches passes. I think that's exactly how it will work. It doesn't work when there's some other ways, but it also he's gonna be the outside guy, the pass catching guy, but he also reminds me a little bit of like Philip Lindsay, where he can take it up the middle. You know, where he's not a zero.
He's clearly not drafted for that reason, though. He is here to be the backup.
Yeah,
slash he's the pass catching guy. They're replacing Deion Lewis, who was essentially a failure.
Well, he was just older now. He was an older running back.
He just wasn't good. He never produced with the Titans. He produced well with the Patriots. We don't know if that was the Patriots, if it's the Titans, if it's the player. I don't know why, but he never produced. Like, he was always a dud, including in games where Derrick Henry was injured and he got the full start. I had a lot of suffering from him in DFS. So, never produced. All right, let's move on. So, essentially, all I'm seeing here is they got a tackle. Good for Derrick Henry. You know, I can't like Derrick Henry more than
Darrington Evans was the get. Darrington Evans.
Oh, wait. Titans are the last team on the board for the AFC. That's going to be it. So,
yeah. Do you want me to? I have a couple other thoughts. Then, if you want, like,
go ahead.
So one of the biggest winners, I think, from a fantasy perspective, when you're talking about rankings and after post rookie draft, is quarterback Drew Lock. And so, basically, they added Jerry Jeudy. They added KJ Hamler in the second round. They already had Noah Fant and Cortland Sutton emerging. They added Melvin Gordon as a free agent if they have set him up for success, and he was a second round quarterback last year. He showed upside. I think Drew Lock is somebody that you have to pay attention to in fantasy drafts this year. And, you know, you and I both agree, like, we don't feel like safe with that in one quarterback leagues. It's a no brainer, but I think in super flex leagues, it's a lot of upside. Now, what is your feeling on Drew Lock? Even though you don't like love him, he doesn't have like the first round draft capital. Do you like what they did around him? Are you starting to gain a little confidence in him as just even as a short term QB? I'm not talking about a dynasty QB.
Well, here's the thing. Second round QB is not locked into anything. So
no, he's not. They can cut his ass.
Very, very clear. Winston, you know, like Cam Newton could be signed. You don't know what happens. Mm-hmm. So no. I know. Am I a believer in Drew Lock? I'm not a hater. I'm not a believer. What I do believe, though, is there's a lot of weapons there that works two ways. That does help Drew Lock. That harms Cortland Sutton. That harms
absolutely.
That harms all of these other fan. All of these guys around him get a minus because we haven't seen where Drew Lock is a 40 target a game quarterback, or a team doesn't like to put that level of volume on their young guys. So you need 35, 40 targets minimum to support three guys putting up numbers. Because if you just do the math, it doesn't work any other way. Number one, Melvin Gordon needs 5 or 6 targets a game. You've still got Lindsay behind him, might get a couple targets. Now you've got Cortland Sutton. You've got the tight end. You've got the rookie wide receiver. There's a slot guy in there somewhere. So
Hamler, they drafted in the second round, KJ Hamler.
That's right.
Out of Penn State. I mean,
he's another name. So it's like so many people comes out.
That's good for Drew Lock.
Good for Lock or eventual Denver quarterback. If it's not Drew Lock, is he all right. So would I hate it if he's my number two? I waited on quarterback dynasty, not dynasty, super flex season long. He's my QB2.
Oh, and super flex. Yeah, no, in Superflex, you have to. He's probably
already your QB3 in Superflex too. You probably get him that late.
Maybe you're right. Maybe, I mean, like, okay, think about this. All right, would you rather have Drew Lock or Matthew Stafford in redraft?
Stafford.
Okay. Drew Lock or Ben Roethlisberger?
Ben.
Really? Okay. So even with the injury concern,
I'm worried about the injury, but while healthy, I much prefer Ben Roethlisberger. I'd rather have Tannehill. I'd rather have a whole slew. I'd rather have Darnold. I'd rather have a whole slew of guys then Drew Lock to me is the ultimate speculation. You know who I'll take Drew Lock over?
Who?
Derek Carr.
Okay, yeah, that's fair. I mean, that's really going to the bottom of the battle,
that's,
though.
That's where I have him, though. That level.
Yeah, I got a bottom couple more. Because I'm trying, you know, everyone's asking us for our rankings. I'm trying to form them, and I don't want them to be so out of whack. So I just got a couple more names: Kirk Cousins or Drew Lock.
Kirk Cousins.
Okay. Oh wow. So okay, you're pushing him down the board. All right, Darnold or Lock.
Yeah, I said I'll take Darnold over Lock.
Okay, I just got two more for you, if you don't mind. Teddy Bridgewater or Drew Lock.
This is where it gets interesting. Okay, now I'm thinking about it. Okay, now it's like, I'm not sure what to do.
So that's about where it is. And then I told you I had one more. Gardner Minshew or Drew Lock?
No. Lock over Minshew. Minshew.
And then guess, how about someone like Philip Rivers?
Well, what about Foles? That's where I'm going. Like, how about a starter in Foles in Chicago versus Drew Lock?
I think I'm going Drew Lock than you are.
I was going to say I'll take Lock over Foles. You're definitely higher on Lock. You've talked about him quite a bit. So that's cool. That's fine. I just don't believe in the guy.
Yep.
I don't mean enough. He's not bad.
You're not alone. You are not alone.
I just don't buy it. I want to see it. And I don't want quarterbacks that I'm taking risks on. Now, I already know with some of these other names, I already know they're not fantasy productive. I know that Derek Carr will not be a productive fantasy quarterback. I know this. So I'd rather have the mystery of Drew Lock to him. But, you know, on the flip side, I'd rather take Stafford. He's produced when he's healthy.
I'm going to throw a little water on your Derek Carr theory right now. I mean, you're right, because obviously we saw what
he's
we saw.
Never produced. You can look at all the stats you want.
Hold on. No, I'm just going to give you one of the more important stats because, you know, we like. So, okay, where did Derek Carr rank in YPA? Just to give everyone a basis, about a 7.0 YPA is good. Anything above that is very good. And then after you get to 8 YPA yards per attempt, it's like elite. Where did Derek Carr rank last year in YPA?
I'm going to say 6.2.
Okay, which is what I would say too, but it was 7.9.
Wow. All right. So he threw a lot. He just didn't.
Right. Now they upgraded the weapons. So
you're telling me that this guy is going to take a massive leap and start completing passes?
No, because his career YPA is sub 7.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, like. You also look at his fantasy production last year. Yeah, but he averaged 13, 14 fantasy points per game. It's at the lowest possible end of what a quarterback.
But they added weapons. They added Henry Ruggs. They added Brian Edwards. They added Lynn Bowden Jr. They're going to pass Josh Jacobs.
He has no excuses after this year.
That's what I'm saying. And it's not after this. He's got 5 games to make it right, or else it's Marcus Mariota time.
That's what I'm saying. There's no excuses. He's a threat to be pulled. He has not shown that he could be productive. There was no season in Derek Carr's history where he was averaging more than 16 fantasy points.
Let's go through that then. Who's the top three short leash guys in the NFL this year from a quarterback perspective?
I mean, you're really good about this, but I think I'm going to put Lock on that list. I'm definitely putting Jared Stidham on that list.
Well, they don't have anything else. You think they would go to Brian Hoyer right away?
They want to win. This is Bill Belichick.
All right, so Stidham is on the short leash. Lock, you said, is on a short leash. We agree Carr's on the short leash.
Is Trubisky starting? I mean, at this point, Foles might be on a short leash.
Either of those guys, short leash. And then this
Gardner Minshew all day is on a short leash.
This is what I was going to say. I don't think Gardner Minshew is on a short leash, because I think that if it's going well, great. And if it's not going well,
they're just
going to
tank it. Yeah.
To get Trevor Lawrence. So I think he's there no matter what. I think that for redraft, there's no one with more job security than Gardner Minshew. Unless it's beyond where he's just like, it's beyond.
You know, but sometimes teams make baffling decisions. I mean, I can't.
Do you see the logic, though?
The logic makes so much sense. But
if he's good, it's good. If it's bad, sports, it's good.
Have you ever watched sports? You know what I'm saying? Teams make the most illogical decisions. I'll give you an example. Just all of these teams, jump over to NBA and like, you're winning games at the end of it. Like, what are you doing? Or Miami winning games at the end of the year. I get it. It worked out. But like, if you're a Miami fan, you're like, we could have pick number two.
Let me explain something.
Why lose the space?
You and I have both played like pickup basketball. We've played pickup football. And when we're competing with just like our friends with nobody watching, like we try as hard as hell just to win because we just naturally have that competitive thing. Imagine what like a professional athlete with millions of people watching and contracts on the line. There's no way that you can get them to tank.
The coach can
put in the second string. They can rest their starters, but they can't stop effort. And in the NFL where it's so volatile, it's hard to lose games. It's actually harder to lose games than you think.
I don't want people. What I'm saying is this guy's sucking it up, right? So this is what I'm saying. Let's say this guy's terrible, Minshew, and they've got a decent backup on the bend. I don't know who the backup is in Jacksonville.
They drafted a seventh round rookie.
That's not a backup. I'm talking about like, let's say there's a Blake Bortles waiting in the background.
There's not. They traded Nick Foles. That was their backup. They traded him and
they're going to bring in a real backup quarterback. They will not go into the season. There are guys that you forgot about that are left, even if it's Andy Dalton. They'll bring in a decent backup.
Has a $17 million contract that he comes with this year.
No, he doesn't. He's going to be cut.
Well, if he's cut, well, if he won't be cut because the Bengals would take a $17 million cap hit.
Oh, so the Bengals buy ours, then he's going to stay with the Bengals. Like no one's paying.
He's going to be on the
Bengals.
Okay, right.
I thought he was just floating around.
No.
So let's say not, but you know, a guy like that. There are people out there. There's a reasonable. I don't know the names because I'm not following.
Cam is the only one. I'm telling you, there's nobody else.
Yeah, it's interesting. It could be like a Mullins, like somebody like that, or
two teams. I listen to Mike Lombardi's podcast, The GM Shuffle, and Lombardi, you know, is GM of the Browns. He worked with the Patriots. He worked the San Francisco 49ers in the Bill Walsh days. He said that Kyle Shanahan told him two teams called for Nick Mullins this offseason. He told him, it's a no.
So interesting. He must like Nick Mullins. You did mention that. So,
yeah.
Hey, I like Gardner Minshew. I love his whole deal. I like the style about him. I like his whole, like, the aura that goes on. I like the Florida man situation that he's got going on for himself. All of that's great.
He was good last year. I don't know why people are for a rookie. He had 21 touchdowns in 14 games. I mean, 21 touchdowns and only like 6 picks or 8 picks or something like that.
He was
good for a rookie.
He did not show me that he's the answer at quarterback. But he's fine.
Think about that team though. Last year, that team, he had crap wide receivers. They had everyone hated Tom Coughlin. Players wanted to be traded out of that team, and he still survived and thrived. Like, and that's what I'm saying. Like, imagine you put him in a good condition. I think he's good.
We'll see this year. Listen, I'm not. Again, I just look at situations. But you know, he hasn't established himself enough to the point where you'd say. He's a lock to get you a lock to start for a whole season. But if there's no backup, then okay. Yeah, he's going to be there thick or thin. All right, let's wrap it up. AFC done, part one. Part two, we'll be back with the NFC breakdowns, team by team, two-part series. Next, two-part for each division, right? AFC part one, part two, NFC part three, part four. Again, if you're listening to this, make sure to subscribe to... any podcast that you're seeing on, click the like button. Says, where can we find you out in the social media land? I know you're doing little TikTok dances now, and I've been watching. They creep me out a little bit. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. So if you want some good fantasy football updates, I'm on Instagram. It's Alan Fantasy Football, A-L-A-N Fantasy Football. And if you don't have a TikTok account or if you have kids that have TikTok accounts, it's not just for dances. Like the geek just said, there's fantasy football content going on TikTok. I'm Alan Fantasy Football on TikTok. Twitter, it's my name. It's Alan Soslowski. But come over to Instagram. Come over to TikTok. That is where I'm doing these 30 to 60 second fantasy football updates. As the geek and I put out our rankings, I'm going to do a little profile on each guy.
Do not let your kids sign up for the Alan Fantasy Football TikTok account. Just don't. Just don't.
All right.
Now, we'll be back next time. Of course, DFS Army. You want to go check out DFS Army right now. We've got a promo. There's no sports happening. Although MMA is coming back real soon. So we're recording this on April 29th. MMA is coming back in May. NASCAR is going nuts in May. May is going to be an explosion of fantasy sports. We still have our esports promotion going on, though. They haven't shut it down yet. You go sign up at dfsarmy.com VIP, use code esports. You get your first month for $20. Thereafter, it locks in at $39.99. VIP at DFS Army is going up to $70 a month. So it's a massive savings. And
I
that's because we
building, don't you?
Well, we need the revenue, building. Man. It's esports time. There's sports that, you know, we need to, we're doing a promotion, get some revenue coming in, keep everybody fed, giving a special, special deal to anybody who's supporting us during the tough times. When the good times come, it's going to work out in your favor. Been crushing esports. Everybody knows it. Look up any tournament that you're in, it's all DFS Army avatars. That's what we do. We crush niche sports. We crush all the sports, but niche especially. Check that out.
And coming soon, a very new, a special new introductory song, a hip-hop song.
Oh, boy.
Featuring the Geek will be the intro song for this podcast. We're just
so
putting
good.
The
it's so
final
good.
Production touches on it. Do you want to give that guy a plug who's creating the song for you?
I'm not even going to do it yet.
Okay.
He's so good. I want to keep it
secret. I heard the raw track, man. It is. He's a legit artist, I'll give you that.
He is no joke.
How you pulled this one off, I do not know. But
I don't even know. It's so good though. So,
and
coming
by the way,
soon, new intro.
You said that you didn't say. I thought you sounded really good on there.
You thought, oh, you liked the part?
Yeah,
that
actually,
with
I thought
me?
It sounded very legit. Very legit.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. I was like, I hear myself and I just get all cringy.
No,
and I'm
I
just
would
like,
tell
no,
you.
I hate it. Really? Oh, wow.
Yeah. I would tell you all if right. I thought it was not worthy of putting out. I thought it's cleverly done. I'll just say that.
Okay. Well, I love to hear that. So we'll see. Possibly for the next episode, new intro coming. Gonna be for the Players Club. Gonna be for all my podcasts, all my videos. It's gonna be a cool intro. Badass. Just one of our members who also happens to be an awesome producer volunteered it up. And man, I love shit like that. God, that's the kind of thing, man. It actually warms my heart. We have members. I'm gonna get, you know, serious for a second here. You know, when the COVID hit, and we said to everybody, listen, guys, we want to keep our community together, but we get it. Sports are shutting down. Everybody, we added a pause option to everybody's account. Just pause your account. Wait for sports to come back. We're going to leave our community open. We're going to leave our team Slack. We're like a family. We all talk to each other every day. We've all become friends. And so it's really hard to not have that. And of course, we picked up esports and other things, which was a bit of a surprise that those things exploded the way they did. But we had people go, you know what? I love this community. I'm not going to pause my shit. I want to support it. I want to keep it going. I've passed it along. We kept our permanent staff fed the whole time. We kept them paid, you know, doing stuff like that just to keep everybody together. Try to take care of people in tough times. I haven't done anything. Like, I just stepped aside and kind of, I don't take anything, but I made sure everybody gets paid. And all these members who said that, and a lot of them did. It really warmed my heart. So really special stuff. And guys like our producer who just called, you know, said to me, hey man, I love this group. I just love what you guys are up to. I want to throw a track down for you. And I thought it was full of shit. And then he sends me this track. It sounds like something from the radio. Like, it literally sounds like you could start an NFL game with this. It's so good.
Yeah, it was good. It was really good.
Yeah, I love it. Like, it actually, to my ear, it sounded a little like the opening to Ballers. It's not the same, but it has that feel to it.
All right, and, well, the people will get a nice little taste of it.
Be ready for that for part three. And meanwhile, good luck, everyone. Let's keep on kicking ass. Cez and I are in the middle of a dynasty rookie draft right now. So
it's a startup vet draft.
A new startup dynasty high dollar. So getting those season-long draft juices flowing. Best ball season is now.
Startup draft is fun, isn't it?
Love a startup draft. And again, best ball season is now. So it's time to start drafting your teams before everybody gets wised to all of these changes. You're listening to this. That means you're more into fantasy football than 90% of the people out there. Just by the fact that you're listening to this, listening to an off-season, draft breakdown discussion like this, that you're in a different category. If you're listening right now, you're in a different category than most. You're more knowledgeable than most just because you're interested in this. You're probably listening to other podcasts as well. So that's really good stuff. Do some best ball leagues. I can't recommend a place to do best ball leagues yet because no one's sponsored. We haven't picked up a sponsor that right. I like. We've had an offer. I didn't like it. I said, no, fuck you. So I'm not going to recommend anywhere, but it exists. And eventually, if we want to promote something, we will.
We'll get it.
Anyway, that'll be it for this one. Good luck. Take care, Cez. For Cez and myself. Later, everyone.
Adios.